96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 1st of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. If it's a Wednesday, that means it's going to be a on-the-clock Guardian Radio AM mashup, Man Down Wednesday, where we combine the shows to delve into the news and interrogate what is being presented to us. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. This morning is a pleasure to be here, Erin. I'm kind of excited about the topics we have chosen today, and also on the second end part of the show. So I'm good.
Absolutely. I thought we could sort of.
Oh, I need to say good morning to somebody, Erin.
Go do that.
The other day we were on location, mm-hmm. and we were at the credit union, mm-hmm. and I was telling the story about my credit union officer who assists me on my loans, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I happened to saw her inside the food store, Miss Marvelo Duncan. She, of course, she remembers me.
Yeah.
And went in detail who I am. So I was very impressed with that, right? Just saying good morning to her.
Good morning, ma'am.
Yeah.
How you do? So I have a quick story to read first, but let's sort of frame out the show. Convention coming. PLP convention is set for November, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that particularly from the chairman of the party's recent commentary that policy driven by the Davis administration is formulated in the party space, mm-hmm. right? It's one of the reasons why I say party business is everybody's business, because it's in the party convention space that they formulate the policy going forward for the next session. And in the article, one of these articles, there's so many, it's really great, I love it. They talk about hot button issues that will be on the table for discussion during the convention. In fact, I'm going to quote from this article, PLP to discuss marital rape, like legalizing marijuana for recreational use, transitioning to a republic at convention. The Progressive Liberal Party Senator Quentin Lightburn said, quote, the essence of the discussions and decisions on the hot button topics will be communicated to the public, even though they will occur during closed sessions in the day. So I figured let's start by talking convention and what's likely to be on the table in terms of policy during the convention, right? I read a couple of things that they've already highlighted, marital rape, legalizing marijuana for recreational use, and transitioning to a republic. So that's what I think, you know, and we can start there. I think some issues like immigration should be on the table. But I got one quick.
And I hear you, Erin, and I beg your pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And I see where you want to start from.
Uh-huh.
I beg you to entertain me to start with the new rules of the PLP convention. Because people need to understand what a convention is,
mm-hmm.
and how it's going to apply. And then we can apply what will be spoken at, or we
All
expect
right.
to be spoken at the PLP's convention.
No problem.
So the PLP changed their convention operation
mm-hmm.
recently.
Yeah.
And I know we did some research on that in terms of, we read the newspaper and pick out the new changes. And I want to remind people what are these new changes? All right. So this is what to expect. I don't want to analyze that. What does it mean for us as Bahamian people? Also, what does it mean for PLPs in general?
All right. So let's start with this article then. Okay. PLP convention set for November. This article is from September the 11th, 2023. The Progressive Liberal Party will hold a two-day convention in November at Bahama. The party's 55th convention under the theme Building on Progress, Driving Change will be held in the 9th and 10th of November. Nominations for officers are now to be accepted in forms to be made available shortly. Under the new procedures, no nominations will take place from the floor. All nominations will take place in writing and must be entered at least 14 days before the National General Convention.
Can I analyze that?
Yeah, let's start right there.
This seems new to me. I'm not sure if all political parties does this. Because I remember in 90... I remember when Ingram was renominated, when Tommy Turnquist was the leader of the FNM.
Was that 97?
97. Let's call it 97.
No, 2007.
2007, yes. Yeah. Yes. And Ingram was nominated on the floor. And I remember the Junkanoo and that wave of excitement when they announced that Hubert Ingram is prepared to run, challenge Tommy Turnquist, right? And the excitement of the crowd. I'm kind of concerned whether democracy is being thwarted when they say you need to be nominated 2 weeks in advance, and then you have to write?
At least 14 days before, and the nomination will take place in writing. So it must be in writing, and at least 2 weeks, 14 days before the National General Convention.
But why? Why is there a need to know beforehand? Who needs to know beforehand? Who
are... Incumbents!
What do they need to know beforehand? That's my business if I want a challenge. I'm talking about my team that, hey, we plan to challenge and we'll challenge on the floor and have that, have the people there who's present debate and choose who they want for whatever position that is I'm being nominated for.
I see it as an attempt to control, right? To maintain power. It feels to me like you sort of letting people know or creating this environment where people feel like they may be victimized if they express their displeasure with the incumbent team, right? Publicly. I think that given the rhetoric and the political culture that comes into operation at election time, it's easy to speculate, right, that this is an attempt to enforce structures in the party that reinforce their power.
I remember a politician, senior politician, mentioned to me, I asked, why isn't nobody challenging for leadership? And he said, reiterated the point that you don't challenge what you're not sure you can win. You need to know that you can win, and then you challenge. And I remember that. That was, he said that several years ago. And I picture the chairman race, Shane Gibson running against a Fred Mitchell, a Robin Lyons running against a Fred Mitchell. And I said, I wonder if they ever spoken to that politician, that PLP politician. You don't challenge unless you're sure you can win.
I mean, that is a sound strategy for things like boxing, like physical, like for combat.
This is combat.
This is not combat.
It's not combat?
No.
You haven't seen the promotions yet?
I know how...
Politicking is combative.
No, I know how we do it here. Mm. We're not limited to that model of politics. And having I'm only 47, but after a couple of decades observing, that model of politics is not serving the Bahamian people. It only serves those who are attempting to maintain the power that they have. It's not a good model. And in fact, even if it were a good model, it's obvious that those who operate it don't understand it, cannot operate it properly, and the worst parts of it bleed into governance.
So you don't believe I should find dirt on my opponent?
I think that you should focus more on your campaign. Those who focus on their opponents already know that they have a weak campaign. Your campaign should be such that it renders your opponent invisible. It matters not what your opponent is doing, because the work that you're doing is solid and sound.
But what if I was a mentor to one of my opponents?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I give them oil. I poured into them.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't challenge me. Surely there's a traitor. And if there's a traitor, I have a right to call them a traitor in the face. Use a freaking traitor. And I want to let the whole world know. This one right here, traitor. Don't vote for that person.
See, I feel you. That's a personal conflict. Let's look at it in the operation in the party. That's not what they do, though. They don't get out and say, I am offended that this person that I mentored for decades would come and attempt to usurp the power that I have garnered, the position that I've created for myself or I've assumed. They don't get out and say that. What they get out and they do is they try to defame the person, right? As opposed to say this is an internal power struggle. We all understand internal power struggle, but that's not what they do.
But surely I'm able to call an opponent old. Say, man, that person old is dirt. They done passed 70. They can't contribute anymore.
I wouldn't use that language. What I would say was I'm concerned about a politician at this age's ability to keep up with the pace of global development. But see, still, you can't just paint a broad brush. We've got some old heads in the world who are doing amazing academic, scholastic, political work, writing, documenting their work at their age. But I wouldn't just get up and call them old. I would determine whether at that age they have the ability to create, to maintain, to visualize, to hold a vision of a reality for people who will be living when I'm dead.
So you're saying you'll vote for a 72-year-old man to be a leader?
I would vote for a 72-year-old person to be a leader if they show me, right? They understand the need to preserve the past, the need to provide for the present, and the need to prepare for the future. See, if they could show me that in a balanced way, then it doesn't matter how old they are. But if what they manifest is they're so stuck in preserving the past that they render the present and the future unnecessary for consideration, then that is somebody I'm not voting for.
I just want my leader to be able to dance without breathing hard. And able to sing to us when he's making a speech. And I could quite content. But what else?
That's why Kagame say the people need to take a class before they could vote, right?
They need to take a class?
I kind of get it now. The class is not to, for me, it wouldn't be to discredit you or prevent you from voting. It's just so that we know that you've been exposed to the things that people should consider when voting. You maybe need to sit in that class.
Mm.
I'm not saying we're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you what the options of things that can be done are. And if at the end of the day, you decide that you're voting for a leader purely on their ability to dance, yeah, prance, and sing,
mm-hmm,
then I'm going to tell you their ability to perform on a public stage and to present a message to the people, to various people at the same time is important. But not as important as their ability to fill out declarations and to gazette public disclosures in a timely fashion according to the Constitution.
I see we have a couple of callers, but before we go to the caller, I want you to continue with what other changes was made for the PLP
Okay,
convention.
We throw it out on the table. Listed in this article, PLP convention set for November, which I feel may not have encapsulated all of the changes occurring. The article says, quote, the National General Council has also set a non-refundable fee for anyone who wishes to run for office.
What? I got to pay to run?
Yeah, a non-refundable.
You don't give me what the money is used for? How much was it? $10, $20?
This is where they get the poster money from. Must be.
What did you use the money for?
Well, they... I'm hoping that those people in the party would have would be privy to that information. I'm not sure if we...
Maybe it's a normal fee, like a $10, $20 type thing. Like,
well, let me tell you what it is. For the office of... Well, let's start at the bottom. Oh, no, we had to start at the top for the way it's written. For the office of leader,
$2,500. $2,500?
Let me say it again.
To run?
$2,500.
Just to run?
Just to run. Deputy leader, $2,000.
Just to run? And it's keep my money? They ain't giving it back if I lose?
No, you're not getting it back. Chairman, $1,500. That's $1,500.
You mean Robin Lyons got to pay $1,500 to run?
Yeah, for her opponents to talk to her badly and then tell her, it's all Shakespeare, my love. You just don't understand it.
See, I understand. She and Gibson have some money. He just win a couple million from us. But I mean, he can afford. But... Robin Knights have that type of money?
See, you know why I sure, you know why they ain't let Shane run? Because Shane probably would have paid all their nomination, all their little non-refundable application fee. Because it's an application fee.
Once he ain't using our money.
Yeah. All other offices are $250.
To run, though? The PLP learn how to make some money off their candidates. They good. I like that. I like that.
That's what you like. What I don't like is this, is that the PLP has not figured out how to prevent their party convention and practices leaking into governance, even when those practices blatantly contravene the letter and the spirit of the Constitution.
You need to give an example to that, but we have a caller.
Because DPM.
No.
Constant example.
I want you to explain, hash it out. I can go to the caller first. Because I want to know what you're trying to say about the DPM. And I'm not sure if I like it.
But not anything, because the position doesn't exist.
But this has semantics, man.
Look how it protects
I see him. The DPM all the time. I see him.
I see the Minister of Tourism, Investment and Aviation.
And the DPM.
And the MP from Exuma.
That's okay, I see him.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, how are you?
We're good, thank you.
Good. Mr. Neary, how are you?
Blessings to you.
You come on like a roughneck, man.
At times.
Say it again?
At times, every so often.
Oh, well, good. Now, you see, the lady did to you. You see how refined she just come on? And guess what? She answered your question, you know. But she always, to me, mind you, always got the right answer. You ask, what did you do with the money? Well, you know, you spoke earlier and said you went to this politician and asked him a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you go back to him and ask him, now you got to pay, what you going to do with the money? What they do with the money? And ain't refundable.
It ain't refundable.
Right. Now, Mr. Noori,
mm-hmm.
This is off the record, but it's personal.
Go ahead.
Dr. Noori, what is he to you?
That's my cousin.
Oh, your cousin?
Yeah.
It's because... In the 40s, we used to live through the
Mason's Addition
together.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay? And he used to live with the Rokers.
Yes.
And he never used to play in the streets with us because we used to play cricket in the street with a tennis ball, you see?
Uh-huh.
He and Arlington Butler never hang out with us.
Why ain't hang out?
You see the reason why... You see how far they went in life, eh?
Yes.
And I an average person, not like them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They doctors and lawyers, okay? But Mr. Noori.
Yes, sir.
I can't call her name. Stick with the lady, because to me, she sounds more intelligent than you.
She gone to Ivy League school.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. This is Aaron Green. Don't mind Mr. Newry.
Okay.
Because
I know she said she went to England to school.
Yes, A-levels and stuff like that. Boarding school
but
all life.
I just get to hear about you since you learned that stuff.
That what?
You mean all the while?
Me? Man.
Yeah, you.
I always owe the policeman.
Oh, well, now, Mr. Newry, I bought in this Bahama land. I joined the force in 59.
Mm-hmm.
Tired in 83. Went to Crystal Palace, reached manager, 205, I retire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I ain't hear nothing about you.
You hear nothing about
that's
you.
That's a good thing, eh?
And when I joined the force, the beat used to go fast Wolf Road. And we used to walk the beat. Mm-hmm. So I had nothing with you. I just have with you since you joined the staff.
Yes. That's a good thing.
Okay, then.
Thank you so much, sir.
You and your family and the lady, your family have a blessed day.
Yeah, absolutely. Ma'am. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you so much.
Thank you for thanking me.
Yes, sir.
It's good to know people who know your family, right?
Yeah.
Good. But continue.
It's a privilege.
So and all of this money you have to pay, but there's no explanation, at least I don't know any explanation on where the money goes.
Yeah, there was none given in the article. I'm not sure if it was given at the press, when the press statement was given, but it wasn't captured in the article. And there must have been more rule changes than this, right? So when I went to the PLP convention website, it was a little, it was just busy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quite sure where to go. I ran out of time in my research. And so I wasn't able to see if those changes are listed clearly on the PLP convention website. And I wonder if members of the party themselves are in a way, whether in nature or in effect, disadvantaged, right, from other members because of their lack of proximity to the center and to Gambier House itself.
Only few people can afford to have spare money to run.
Uh-huh.
Because $2,000 isn't, I mean, it is spare money for a number of persons, but it creates a criteria or a category of persons who can be leader.
Right. And it,
so if you're coming from a working class perspective, but you have ideas, you have ambition, you can contribute. You can no longer contribute because you're not rich enough.
And it engenders a culture of patronage, right? Where you, an MP, have a patron that you are beholden to, whether psychologically or financially, right? Someone you're beholden to other than the people that you represent, because you can't afford to do it yourself. And I wonder if the residents and constituents in Family Islands have observed this dynamic where Family Island MPs spend more time in New Providence than in the actual constituency because of the cost of travel and moving back and forth regularly. See, a different political culture would have resulted in that dynamic producing modes of transportation that are more affordable and effective. So I imagine that because an MP has an urgent matter to resolve, which is how do I more appropriately balance my time on the Family Island, my constituency, and in the capital at the House of Assembly, well, a ferry that or a mailboat that runs more frequently or regularly would give me better, greater ease of access, right? And it results in a new solution for ordinary people who can't afford to fly, and given the situation with the banking deserts, right, it resolves all kinds of issues.
I see we have another caller, but I'm thinking, if I wanted to challenge the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, right, and I give him notice, the 14 days notice I'm planning to challenge him, and he can use the machinery against me.
14 good days to mash you up.
And does he have to pay the $2,000 too, or only me won't have to pay the $2,000? Because I'm challenging him. He's already there. He's not challenging for the position. He's
right.
There.
Are incumbents required to formally nominate and pay this fee? And is that disadvantageous to other members of the party? Mm. See, and if the party, coming right now, if the party itself can't figure out these equity and equality issues, how are they going to do it in governance?
Plus, the like position of chairman is paid by the party. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the leader is paid or the deputy is paid by the party. So the party itself is now paying.
For the chairman to nominate himself.
Nominate himself. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Hold 1 minute for me, caller. We're going to patch it through to us right now. Go ahead again.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, morning.
Can you hear me screen, Mr. Nui? How you doing?
Good, good.
First of all, let me say thank both of you for your morning show. As you might know by now, I'm walking around. I got a walker these days, the two wheels and the brakes they got in the back there.
I got you.
Because of an injury I had that has taken a long day. You know, when you're young, you just fall down, break a bone, get up, and next week you're running around again.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get old, it don't happen like that. But I just want to say thank you very much to Dwight and the Guardian Talk Show crew. Because something happened to me yesterday going to Super Wild U Blue Hill Road. I ran in there with this walker. Old lady won't help me open the door.
Bless
moving him. Around with the walker and the trolley, the mile and the aisle. It's great, and you'd be surprised how much people listen to your talk show.
Yes, sir.
The, all of them, you know, it's surprising compared to one time ago when they used to call me and Papa and Bannister and JT and them chronic callers. That's before y'all even know about talk show.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call us chronic callers. Same fellas calling all the time. Now look how much different behemoths you are calling talk show now. You can hardly get into the talk show, the line's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is because you people, those have passed on and gone from talk show, even Jeff Lloyd and everybody, McCartney and everybody. But it's all because of Dwight and the hard-working crew of Guardian that the Bahamian people now are getting involved with politics, religion, you name it, all through these talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walked through yesterday, supervised, before I got to the door, you'd be surprised when people say, so they hear my voice asking somebody if the price is up. Oh, I know that voice.
Yeah.
I got to be Sparky. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, throughout the whole store, I said, well, you'd be surprised how much people know Papa. This one, the next one, just mm-hmm. from listening to you guys. And how much people come up to me, Sparky, don't stop. Keep their foot to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about victimization. They can't do you nothing. We behind you. I say, you're behind me. When they grab me, you're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say thank you, Mr. Nuri, and Ms. Green, and Dwight, John, and all the talk show hosts, because you're all doing a good job. You're all keeping the island alive. I never see much, so much people in New Providence. They're more involved in West Grand Bahama and Bimini than the people who live up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people in New Providence, and they came and vote. But they got more to say than the people who live in West Grand Bahama and Bimini. They got more to say about who should be chairman and who should be this, who should go and who should stay. I'm surprised they want to say hello to Mario Bolek. I met flyers inside my gate this morning when I did empty the garbage. Apparently, he passed around or sent some people around. Hello, Mario Bolek. You're doing a good job in your ministry, but I still need to see you. Y'all have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. And Sparky raises a point as well, right? People are tuning into radio stations because they want to be involved in the development of the country. Even when they can't participate in a particular aspect, they want to be knowledgeable. They want to know things about their country. And what people are finding more and more is that access to information, access to policy information, access to decision making at various levels just doesn't exist. They have to fight too hard. Sacrifice. Why should I have to join a party to get access to information? Why should I have to be a part of a civic organization to get access to information? And so one of the things that should be on the table at this convention is the question of accountability and transparency, right? And can the government provide information, the information necessary at the pace required to reinforce the trust in accountability and transparency, right? That's it's extremely important, and various administrations have suffered because of their disregard for that element of governance, right? The Anglican Church at the Lambeth Synod 1998, I think, when they were considering the question of homosexuality, one of the things the church said is, listen, it's a sin, but we maintain a listening ear for those people so that we can maintain communication, right? And the government should always understand its obligation to initiate the process. You create the listening ear. You create the mechanisms for Bahamians to tell you what they want and how they feel about the decisions you are making on their behalf. But, see what I'm saying? Given the nature of the operation of the party itself, I could tell you it's probably unlikely, near impractical for me to, you know, improbable and impractical for me to think it could happen that a party that operates like this could then shift to governance and manifest those positive principles in governance. And so, like Sparky said, all us around the archipelago more focus on the by-election than the people there, but we can vote Sparky because I have an MP and I could let my MP know that these are the things that we expect. We expect you to support that MP in doing these things. Because when it comes our time, We want people to support you in doing what's right for us, even if it goes counter to your party agenda or policy. So that's why this thing of balancing, I talk about it all the time, I go to the callers, every MP I ask, how are you going to balance your obligation to the Constitution, to the party, to the leader of the party, to cabinet, to the rules of parliament, to the people, to the past, the present, and the future? How are you going to balance all of those things?
Aaron, you don't believe that the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party should be in the House of Assembly, nor should be a cabinet minister. And I want to investigate that, interrogate that some more. But let's go to the callers, and I want you to give an explanation why you don't believe.
After the callers, right?
After the callers.
Okay, then.
My good MP could be a good chairman, and I believe you're giving a disservice by saying it. But let's go to the callers here, though. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Aaron, good morning. Good morning, CA.
Morning.
Let me put a very interesting proposition on the table. You know, it behooves me and it irks my spirit when I hear people talk the garbage or the nonsense that stay out of a particular political party's business. They have to realize that the business that they're dealing
with. I think we lost Jeff.
Jeff.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Let's go to the next caller, that producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's a different caller. You know that, right? Yeah,
blessings. How you do?
Huh?
Yeah, man.
Blessings.
Oh, good morning. How you doing, Mr. Green and Mr. Tingham?
Newry, good morning.
Yeah.
No, man. We're good.
Yeah, what I'm going to say, the thing which you started to talk about with the party and the new regulation and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
When I used to be active in the party, the PLD be talking about, I could remember, I think the day always is to have like a little charge when you run in with something like, For a position or something, chairman or deputy or leader or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember around Paul Moss, I think I could remember something like that, them booklets and different things, all of them would be like some kind of contribution you have to give. And asking what they do with the money, I believe it's a big possibility that they use some of the money with the traveling with the different delegates from the different family island, all expensive for the hotel and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could believe that. And I believe all of this. Some of it seems a little different, Mr. Newry. And you might be saying that you're not aware that these policies what they are. But when I hear some of the things and the stuff, I say that's Fred Mitchell, and then I think about the $1,500 to run as the chairman. Like if you decide to like step down and maybe support Shane Gibson or support Mr. Lines, if one of them decided to sit down. They don't get the money back. I don't think that ain't come across sensibly. I mean, they make it afford to do it and all of that. But I wanted to say this quickly. I hear one of the callers them calling, right? Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
Tired. I mean, and not trying to blow no wind on you or nothing like that, right? But
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people out there would like to meet you and tell you these things, them how you come across on the airwave so intelligent and smooth, respectful, and helpful, you know, and
we don't
get a lot of that. And they talk about you having old levels and being away to college, university or something like that in London and the Queen's College and all that. Ms. Green, you really, really is an impressive lady. I mean, like if I was your daddy or your parents, I know that they should be proud of you. You know what I mean? And I started to think about, like, financially, I don't know if you do business, and I know smartness is good to have, but you need the funds to really be able to do things. How could we afford to have something like valuable, and for all of the other refs out there who like you, but we're not getting them, like they're not being involved as much as they
mm-hmm.
could be with so much different situations we'll be going through in the country. And I was wondering, like, it's like, I know you was the president or something before and stuff like that. I mean, like, different things and stuff like that. How active you is, because I would have been glad to have you in my business or to be able to help to develop this country. I know politics ain't for everybody, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
And you're so smart, lady.
Thank you.
I'm trying to take nothing away from Mr. Newry, but you're on a different class than you. You know what I was thinking to myself? I say, but I don't want to sound offensive and not.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, that 2 hours with Howard Grannis be on, that would be good for you to help educate us. You would be like another Chicago line there. I'm not trying to compare you with Chicago line or anything like that, but you on a level, Mom. And I say maybe him and Howard could share these 2 hours, how you all be there and busting up and things and stuff like that. Ms. Green, we really appreciate you. And we can't wait till you go to say, oh, she was so good, and she was so smart. Yeah, you good.
Thank you.
Your mom, your daddy, them proud. I would be proud of you. You're smart, and I think you need to be more involved in this country when it comes on decision-making, people like you. And I believe it's more people like you justly that just wait around, and we just ain't open.
Yeah.
You need to be involved more. I just want to encourage you. Maybe you are, and I just don't know about it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Papa. But you said it right there. There are more people like me out there, and how do we capture their voices? Because that's what I'm doing. I can be honest with you. I'm hearing people. I'm exposed to people with great ideas. And when I encourage them to bring the ideas to the fore and they don't, I bring the idea to the fore in my own way, right? They are out there. And I think the more effective mechanism, Papa, is that we need to create a think tank, right? A proper mechanism that anybody could plug into, right? I don't think my gift should only be a benefit to a political party. Because if you could only be a part of one political party in this town. I would rather present my ideas in a way that anybody could use them, benefit from them, gain an advantage from them. And a think tank would enable more people to engage with their brilliant thinking, their brilliant practice, their experience, without the fear of victimization, without being caught up in a political culture that renders you useless once the party you have been affiliated with, whether you are or not, is out of power, right? And say, thank you, Papa, and leaning on what Sparky said before, the callers have been informing people for years and years and years, and how do we create a mechanism where their contributions can be used and we could extract the maximum value from it and also honor or respect those people making the contributions, right? And I wonder if the political parties have realized that the political culture has become a detriment not just to governance and not just to politics, but to their own politic. Because of the way that they operate.
Carla, we see you. We're going to take you on the other side of the break. Aaron, still with all that talking, you still didn't tell me why you vaxxed my chairman running to be chairman.
On the other side.
That's when we can start off with. Yeah. We can start off with the caller. So, Carla, if you can hold on any longer, we can start off with you, and then we'll go to Aaron's explanation why she vaxxed. Anyway, this has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nri, the side chick. I'll be right back.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nri. The lines are lit. So let me go to the callers first,
yeah.
And then I'll have you answer that question because I'm a little defensive.
I understand.
And I want you to explain to listen audience why you vex at my
MP. I got you.
But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? One minute.
Something after Papa.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Miss Green, I don't know how you all two could still fit in that same little studio. Because as big as your head must be swell now. You must be pushing the newbie right up through the door. You all had to go through Grand. Let me tell Papa something. There's many people around here like Aaron Green. Mm-hmm. And Papa is one.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky's another one. We've been doing this for years. Now they're starting to listen to the little small people and the corner callers like us. And they're starting to join the band. They're on the train track with us now. So we're on a train track because we still want to go someplace. And we still want to leave something for our children and our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
What has been happening in our country now, some of us who made it, like my age, 72, and maybe the scrap bars and little government house or a little house or a little piece of property, 100 by 100, we might be the dying race of those people because the rest of the people coming behind ain't no property here. You can't find no property. You can't get no loan from the bank other than buy a second-hand Japanese car. And you can maybe get in when government house if they build anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cleaning down the shanty town. I don't know if they turn that into farming or residential. And I don't know where them people who illegal, where they going. Because I don't think they won't go back to Haiti, wherever they come from. But if they're illegal, I only talk about the illegals now. If you're legal, you got a work permit. And whatever you're supposed to have legal, I ain't got no problem with you. You're welcome. But if you're illegal, please leave our country. Because we need space for the future, the Bahamian people. We need our land for the Bahamians. Bahamians first. Like Donald Trump said, Americans first.
Thank you, Sparky.
Just the Bahamians. And let everybody start speaking up to the PLP, the FNM, the COI, and them. We tired of playing games. We want to leave something for our children.
Yes, Sparky. Thank you very much. And okay. That's it. That's what Bahamians want. We don't mind sharing. People don't mind sharing, but they also have an obligation to maintain and prepare a legacy for their children. That's a blood obligation.
Let's squeeze these people in, Aaron. Go ahead, Carla. Can you hear me? Call again once. Call again twice. Next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
We're good, thank you.
Good. Good morning to the nation. A few comments I wanted to make. Interesting discussion for the record, although I expected a little more out of you all in terms of the dialogue, Aaron and Cecil, but I'll continue listening after my comments. I believe that we have, and this is something that I wrote to internally, and it was one of at least 100 recommendations, policy recommendations, legislative recommendations I would have made to leadership in our party. We need campaign finance reform, and I've been talking about it for at least 15 years now, right? We need campaign finance reform, and as the government of the Bahamas, can you all hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
We have the authority vested in us right now. If we are really serious about taking the level of transparency and accountability in campaign finance and its reform to the level where it needs to be, then we have the authority and the power right now to make that change. And that's something I call on leadership to do. Right? Mm-hmm. I believe that if we have a situation where there is campaign finance reform to the point where the government of the Bahamas actually contributes significantly to financing campaigns, that will change absolutely every level of campaigning, every level of persons seeking to buy for office, and it will level the playing field in all the regards where persons are disadvantaged or where untoward or off the wall or overnight initiatives are born that help to either maintain the power for certain people or disadvantage others from applying or completely changes the culture from the political norms that had been in practice over the decades within party and certainly within country. We absolutely need campaign finance reform, and we need it to reform to the point where the government of the Bahamas, whether it be referendum or whether it be legislation, the people of the Bahamas contribute significantly by way of taxes to supporting or funding the legally acknowledged major parties in the country through their conventions and through the national general elections. And if that happens, then that will lead to a deepening of democracy. Can you all still hear me?
I can hear you. But Antoine, I got a question for you. I appreciate your point. You have promoted within your party at the party level this need for campaign finance reform. Let me ask you a quick question, Antoine. Under the PLP party, since the nomination stage before the general election, there have been no gazetting of the disclosure lists or public declarations. Is the Davis administration, which is fed from the PLP party, right, do they have the capacity, the ability, the political will to implement campaign finance reform if they have been unable to fulfill their constitutional obligations in terms of declarations and public disclosures and have not felt it necessary to explain to us why they have been unable to fulfill that obligation? Do you think this administration or even a Pintard, the next FNM administration, have the ability and the political will to do it?
I absolutely believe that there's the ability of Eric. That's the easy part of that question. But I think the more difficult part of that question is there the will to do it, mm-hmm. right? And the will is what really is really what it comes down to. I believe Aaron, as the former chair of the disclosure committee, Miles LaRota, mm-hmm. would have noted, and it remains true for the current chair of the committee,
Bishop Cooper,
the good bishop. And it remains true that their position renders them as physically a toothless tiger. Similarly, in many regards, to IRCA, who is also a toothless tiger because they are unable to do certain things that they need to do, mm-hmm. right? They do not have in law prescribed for them a means by which they can truly hold those accountable who may not fall in line with the constitutional requirements of disclosing, mm-hmm. as you are pointing to and as you continue to point to on various shows, Aaron. And I agree with you, and I support your position because it all comes back to it all comes back to demonstrating how serious one is mm-hmm. when they say certain things publicly and the actions don't line up.
Yes, sir.
That are already on the books. The actions don't line up with what you are saying publicly. And so that needs to change, right? There's no skipping around that.
Yes.
And all of that can be addressed, Aaron. All of that, where the Bohemian people are allowed a real voice in how democracy is displayed mm-hmm. and how democracy is lived in the party as well as in the government through campaign finance reform. And I'll end with this point, to the point where the people of the country through the government finances significantly campaigns for the two legally recognized parties, as well as at the level of national general elections. Until we have such a system, we're going to continue to have slippages where only if the will exists, we'll see these realities that are already on the books being adhered to. Thank you all for the opportunity. Continue the good work, both of you.
Yeah, man, thank you. Thank you, Anton.
Aaron, your hour soon run out.
Yeah, I know.
I want to talk immigration in shanty towns.
Okay, right? So
it could be close because I see what we do with the shanty towns. I want to talk about that, but I still want this question.
So let me answer the question.
No.
We were going to do it on the other half.
I'll give you 5 minutes. No, 7 minutes.
All right. Are we going to
read? And we can read the text.
On the other half.
Yes, on the other side too. Just because this is a good topic and I want a conversation. And caller, you could call back on the other side too. We run out of time, but I can entertain Aaron and with that questioning. But I want to talk about shanty towns.
All right, let me just throw out the names of the articles that we referenced in this discussion. PLP convention set for November, that's the 11th of September, 23. PLP to discuss marital rape, legalizing marijuana for recreational use, transitioning to a republic at convention. Nassau Tribune, 26th of October. PLP will deal with marital rape. That's the 5th of February, 2020, which is interesting to hear the new utterings from the Prime Minister compared to the old utterings from the Prime Minister. And Mitchell suggests it's best for PLP chairman to be in cabinet 31st of October, 23. Those are the articles we reference for this discussion.
Yes.
Yep.
But that makes the end of the show. It's now 11:01. Do you close it?
You've been on the clock with Aaron Green, guys. The on the clock Sand Dollar trivia giveaway trivia is coming back next week. We've got more Sand Dollar news because we've got banking deserts and the unbanked and the underbanked are underserved in this country. It's a conversation we have to have. It's coming up in following days.
Yes, this has been another mashup show where it is Guided Radio on the AM and is next. And we joined, of course, on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back after the news. I want to play.